relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Hey, Judge, how are you? I don't know why you wanted the job, man. I appoint all those federal judges, but, you know, thank you for serving. I'm not kidding. You want to come and make a speech? Hush up, boy.
Hush up, boy? You're talking to a colored Muslim from the podium at the White House. Hush up, boy. I guess old habits die hard when your buddies formerly with segregationists from the South. That's President Biden, the current incumbent at the White House. Let's analyze all things geopolitical and presidential with one of our regular guests, one of your true favorites. He is the author of a whole library of books, most recently Donald J. Trump, a president like no other. Lord Conrad Black, welcome back to America First.
Thank you, Sebastian. Always a pleasure.
Is that a strange thing for a white man to say from the podium of the White House? Hush up, boy.
Yeah, look, in fairness to him, I don't think he realized that it was as, as completely outrageous as it does sound nowadays. I mean, he is a guy who speaks in the same way he did 50 years ago when he first got to Washington.
Yeah, but things have changed a little in the last 50 years in American politics. All right, let's jump in to your latest piece at the New York Sun, an incredible analysis of why, I think for me, why the 2024 presidential election will not be the same as the 2020 presidential election. You talk about those who hate President Trump like Peggy Noonan. Another person you discuss is somebody who leaves my heart a little bit troubled. He was on the show quite regularly. I loved his legal analysis. But Andy McCarthy has been prognosticating on politics and lacking the requisite credentials, perhaps?
Yeah, I like him, too. He's a very fine man and a delightful man to have dinner with, and clearly a very capable man in his profession of the law. But I don't know what has got into him that he thinks he has some standing to comment on, as if he was a learned student of these matters, on election prospects. Other than that, he denies that he is a Trump hater, but he walks, talks, and looks like a Trump hater.
Yeah.
I mean, he supported the impeachment of Trump, and he has been singularly negative about Trump. He took the Russian collusion thing very seriously, right up to when it collapsed completely, and now he's taken to writing that Trump can't win an election. Well, you know, we all take Andy McCarthy seriously when he talks about the merits of a legal case, but he has no more standing to say who can win the next election than any voter in the United States or any, if I may say it, qualified observer from outside the United States. For him to resort to this, I think, is a sign of how jumpy all of those who placed all their bets against Trump are getting. I mean, whether they're Democrats or never-Trumpers or just Republicans who aren't quite never-Trumpers but don't like Trump particularly, that they're all getting very jumpy. They thought that they had seen the last of the dreadful meteor that crossed over their sky on January 6, 2021. They thought that was the end of it. We'll spend the next couple of years burying him and never hear of him again. And now that they see that he's 20 points ahead to win the Republican nomination and narrowly leading Biden in an election, and the period between now and the election looks like it'll be one when the economy is deteriorating into recession, you see all of the anti-Trump forces getting severely agitated.
And there's one person you mentioned before we went on air, in addition to Noonan and McCarthy, who could be a very, very important bellwether, somebody who does know politics and who's changed his tune.
Yeah, you're referring to Britt Hume,
yes.
who's, of course, born in Washington, been in Washington all his life, and covered Washington politics from very close up for approximately 60 years, I believe. And he, I saw him on, just on the, one of the, you know, the Fox News panel in their news hour at 6 o'clock last night, and he was saying that it looked to him that if these prognoses of a coming recession were accurate, and he thought that they might well be, but he doesn't claim to be an economist. But if they are accurate, it would appear that Trump is the likely winner of the next election. He is certainly, as he said, probably on all, anything you can see, the likely Republican nominee, and he's running even or slightly ahead of Biden in the polls now. And if between now and the election, as he put it, we get into a recession, a great many people who may not particularly like Trump may think he's the best choice they've got.
Yeah, yeah. A man who never really suffered from Trump derangement syndrome and has very, very sober political analyses over the years. Let's look at the three things that you say are fundamentally different or will be different between 2024 and 2020. And they have to do with George Floyd, COVID, and the way we elect presidents in America. Would you expand on those three things?
Yes, well, in 2020, of course, the horrible, nightmarish incident with George Floyd caused a tremendous outburst of violence all across the country, but particularly in Democratic-governed cities and the Democratic mayors of those cities, from Minneapolis to New York and others, were completely ineffectual at dealing with the violence and were essentially mollycoddling the rioters and demonstrators and violent demonstrators and arsonists. And this was all cracked up by the solid wall of anti-Trump media as indicative of the chaos Trump causes. This was just Trump's America, riots everywhere. That's what you get with Trump.
Right.
At the same time, there was always still implicitly the charge that he was not well disposed to minorities, and from there it is a short step to saying he actually is the sort of person who's quite comfortable with the brutal murder of African Americans, which of course is a scurrilous, outrageous imputation. But so they got him coming and going. You see, Trump was a sympathizer with the sort of people who would be blasé about killing African American suspects of a felony, and on the other hand, the terrible disorders that took place afterwards were, on the one hand, justified and being conducted by righteous people like Black Lives Matter, but on the other hand, what you get as you descend into chaos, which is what we will do if you have Trump as president. On the second point, the COVID matter, I mean,
yes,
the Democrats, as soon as they got a good look at COVID, started screaming for shutdowns so that they could have a depression and basically lay it all at Trump's door as the Herbert Hoover of the 21st century, that he is responsible for colossal unemployment figures, and, as if he had circulated this illness. And then thirdly, you had the changes to the voting and vote counting rules, especially in the swing states of Pennsylvania, Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, Wisconsin, and Michigan, but not as the Constitution requires by the state legislatures, but either the executive fiat of Democratic governors or the decision of Democratic majorities on the state courts. And the constitutionality of those issues, and here Trump is partly to blame. He was very late getting going with this. As soon as these measures started to be put in, in all of these states, he should have challenged them. But he didn't. He was late doing it. But the fact is the judiciary did not hear and judge on its merits any one of those cases. Yeah. Well, all of that is different this time. You know, we saw with Georgia, the rules were changed. President Biden said it was Jim Crow. It's back to segregation. Completely outrageous. There was a tremendous turnout of voters, including African-American voters in Georgia in the midterms. And so it's not
a record turnout. A record turnout.
And there were no significant allegations of lack of integrity in the voting anywhere in the country in the midterms. So I mean, they're not going to be able to harvest ballots quite as effectively next time around. Secondly, they won't have the COVID matter, which enabled them to hide their candidate in his basement for the whole campaign.
Right.
Joe Biden, if he's the nominee, is going to have to come out and campaign, and he's 4 years older, and he was no prize in 2020, he's unlikely to be, he's unlikely to be a world beater in 2024 and as a campaigner. And you know, we don't have that terrible shutdown. We don't have their ability to blame bad economic news on Trump. People now look back on Trump as a president who delivered full employment and no inflation.
The conditions have changed drastically. We're talking to Lord Conrad Black, co-host of the podcast Scholars in Sense. Follow him at his website, conradmblack.com and Conrad M. Black on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Our podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts. Just plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Back after these messages.
America First. Magnificent.
Welcome back, dear friends. Those holding on very patiently, David, Todd, Brent, don't go anywhere. We will get to your calls after Lord Black. The number here for you to sound off on the stories of the day, especially Joe Biden sending the U.S. military to the border to effect the transportation of illegal immigrants into America. I know you have something to say about that. The number is 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. If you are looking to make a wise choice when it comes for your Medicare supplement or Advantage plan, and you don't want to fall into a woke agenda, please check out AMAX Medicare Advisory Service. They are the conservative alternative to AARP, and this is a no-obligation consultation with licensed Medicare agents who can answer all your questions. Even if you already have a plan, AMAX agents can check to see if you're overpaying. There's no cost to you, and best of all, they don't support a left-wing liberal agenda. Don't be fooled by TV commercials and mailings advertising Medicare services. Go with the best in the business. Choose AMAC. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, go to amac.us/value. That's amac.us/value. We are back with Lord Conrad Black. Lord Black, we were talking in the break. Before we move on to the next topic I wish to cover, I have it on unimpeachable sources that Tucker Carlson is still under contract from Fox, which is strange. Does that mean that we've lost a conservative voice in an election run-up year? How significant is that decision to keep him on a leash for the next 20 months?
I'm getting out of my depth here, but I mean, I don't think it is that significant because politically, I think Tucker was ambiguous. He was certainly extremely critical of the administration, but he was not any whitewasher of Trump either. I didn't
know.
And so I think he was, he had a sort of populist niche, and a sizable niche it is. But I think in the first place, if it's just 1 year, he'll still be free to to speak his mind through most of the election year. But even if it's a period that goes right up to the election, I think he has great talents and a big following, but I think he was kind of neutral politically. I think he was probably more critical of this administration than the previous one, but he was not anything like as well disposed to President Trump as Sean Hannity is or Laura Ingraham is.
Correct.
I would say.
Correct. All right, let's talk about presidential politics that I think make the Watergate scandal pale into insignificance. Fox interviewed the current Secretary of State and asked him about the sworn testimony from the former acting director of the CIA implicating him in the letter of 51 intelligence officials saying the Hunter Biden laptop story was false. His Antony Blinken on Fox, cut three.
I want to ask about the letter that was written concerning Hunter Biden's laptop. Mm. They said it was, you know, Russian disinformation. Mm. Can you explain what your role was in that and if you incentivized it?
Well, first, one of the great benefits of this job is that I don't do politics and don't engage in it. But with regard to that letter, I didn't wasn't my idea, didn't ask for it, didn't solicit it. And I think the testimony that the former Deputy Director of the CIA, Mike Morrell, put forward, confirms that.
Well, somebody's lying because Mike Morrell said that it was organized with Antony Blinken as part of the Biden campaign to corral those 51 former intelligence officials to say this is Russian disinformation. Antony Blinken, who is now the Secretary of State, says, no, that didn't happen. If it did happen, this is a scandal that just makes Watergate seem like a tiff in the playground, does it not?
Well, frankly, I think Watergate was just that.
But, yes.
It was magnified into a terrible incident. Unfortunately, it was possible to exploit certain vagaries in Mr. Nixon's personality, and he inadvertently cooperated with his enemies a bit. But I think this is in that category that we have with this administration recurringly, that there are competing versions of events, and the media is so partisan and so flabby in respect of reporting on this administration, it doesn't chase it down. I mean, we had the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Milley, and some of his colleagues amongst the Joint Chiefs state under oath to Congress, to congressional committees, that they warned the president what would happen if he pulled out of Afghanistan in the manner that he proposed. And we had President Biden saying, not under oath, but just saying to the public, no, they didn't warn me properly. I wasn't warned that this would happen. Well, you know, they can't both be right. Well, I think that's where we are again. And I think, you know, in fairness, any administration will, any people will up to a point do what they can get away with. And if the media aren't going to hold them accountable in the way that they did, certainly the Nixon and Trump administrations, and for the most part other administrations, then that's what you get. You get these ludicrous, inexplicable, contradictory versions of events from colleagues in the administration, and they never have to enlighten us as to which one of them is telling the truth or is closer to the truth.
And the fact that there never seem to be any ramifications or consequences, if you're having an acting director of the CIA literally collude with an opposition presidential campaign to do a disinformation operation, surely there should be some ramifications to that?
Yes, and when the people involved in the disinformation campaign, the signatories of that infamous letter, include, at that time, the incumbent senior intelligence directors.
Yeah,
I mean, it's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. But we've reached the point where almost nothing is shocking. So, you know, if you go on astounding the senses and confounding the well-established customary traditions long enough, nothing is shocking, nothing is customary, and nothing is traditional, except people just do what they want and the hell with it.
So do we return, therefore, to the hoary old presidential phrase for 2024 that it's the economy, stupid, and people will vote on their pocketbooks and purses?
I think that's a large part of it. I think both the inflation rate and if we're going to have a recession, so we would have stagflation, even if inflation is down a bit, which it normally does come down in a recession, I would say that's a big part of the story. But I think this administration has a lot of other, to take President Biden's own metaphor, I think they've got a lot of other anvils attached to their waist. You know, I mean, they will have millions and millions of illegal immigrants, astounding and terrifying rises in the number of fentanyl deaths and other sophisticated drug deaths, dangerous drug deaths, a crime rate. You've got all sorts of things that they're going to have to answer for, and the media haven't made them answer for any of it, but presumably the Republican candidate will.
A surfeit of albatrosses. I hope the plural for that is an albatross eye. In the meantime, the book is Donald J. Trump, a president like no other. The website is conradmblack.com. Follow him at Conrad M. Black on Twitter. This is America First.
I'd like to say something about Antifa, because I looked it up. It's not a highly organized movement. It's a moniker. It's not a unified group like the Proud Boys are. And and more importantly, they are not endorsed by elected leaders the way these Proud Boys, for example. Well, we know Trump said to the Proud Boys, stand back and stand by, which is a signal to them.
Well, Joy Behar looked up what Antifa is, so you can take that to the bank. Maybe not. What you can take to the bank, dear friends, is that if you have a cell phone and it's with one of the big cell phone companies, you are funding your enemies and those who hate America. The big guys have given millions of dollars to organizations like Planned Parenthood and gun control foundations. Ask yourself one question. Why would you fund people who hate you, your values, and this nation? Stop it today. Do what I did. Join the only Christian conservative cell phone company in America. It's called Patriot Mobile. It has the same 4G, 5G national coverage with a performance guarantee, free activation with my name, extra discounts for veterans and first responders, and you can feel good that you're with a company that actually donates hundreds of thousands of dollars to things you believe in, the sanctity of life, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. Switch today. You can keep your old number. It's super easy. Do what I did. Call 878-PATRIOT or go to patriotmobile.com/Gorka. That's 878-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/GORKA. All right, the last time I saw him in person, by the way, was at an event with Tucker Carlson and 2,500 of my closest friends. It was 3 days before Fox took him off air. They didn't fire him. We'll talk about that in a second. He's the founder. He's the CEO of that superlative website. It's The Federalist, and he's Sean Davis. Greetings, my friend.
Good to see you. Good to talk to you again. Thank you for having me.
That was quite a night with Tucker, wasn't it, with us and a few thousand of our closest friends?
It was, and I generally don't go to stuff like that, but that was a spectacular event, capstoned by an absolutely amazing speech, a timeless, historic speech from Tucker that I think we all felt in the room at the time, you know, days before all the other events. It felt big and momentous and deep.
Yeah, and everybody needs to watch it. I think it is the most popular video the Heritage Foundation has ever posted. I think it was like a million views in the first 48 hours. For those who haven't seen it, and everybody should, you can find it on my timeline on Twitter, on Facebook. What was the most remarkable moment for you? Just mention one of them, Sean, if you would.
I think it was just the clear elucidation from Tucker that all the battles that we're fighting now in Congress, taxes or climate or this stuff or that stuff, it all seems like a proxy war for a much bigger spiritual battle that is going on behind the scenes. And that it's this spiritual battle that is the reason why we all feel the way we do. It's why things feel like they're crumbling, why they're falling apart, why half the country just seems so invested in being angry and ugly and awful and evil and violent. And it was just nice to have that realization uttered by someone with his platform to make it clear to everyone the stakes of the battle we're facing.
Yeah, Yeah. Let's talk about what's happened in the last few hours with the leaks of texts and videos about Tucker Carlson and why Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar are giving us lectures on Antifa, the political scientists that they are. So here's one of the absolutely scandalous texts, Sean. Let me run it past you. Mr. Carlson described in the text how he had recently watched a video of a group of men, Trump supporters, he said, violently attacking an Antifa kid. He said, "It was three against one. Jumping a guy like that is dishonorable, obviously. It's not how white men fight," Tucker said. I would agree with that sentiment. If you're a decent member of the Judeo-Christian civilization, if you have to fight somebody, you do it in a way that isn't cowardly. What's wrong with the text, Sean?
Nothing was wrong with that text. And I knew exactly what he's talking about, okay? I'm a middle-class white dude. I've grown up around middle-class white dudes. Middle-class white dudes don't generally fight for keeps. It's like it's a fist fight. It's the kind of fight you have with your bros when somebody mouths.
You mean we're not all John Wick?
Correct. But there is a very different thing when you're just fighting, like as someone who's like taken care of and doesn't have to worry about things, compared to someone who is, you know, if they work with their hands all the day, if they're working, when they fight for keeps, because it's not just fighting for one's pride. You might actually be fighting for your survival.
Yeah.
That's obviously what he was talking about.
Right.
Everyone knows it. And then the text finished with him saying, "You know what? I feel bad. I was hoping awful things for that Antifa person, and that's wrong. Somebody loves that person. That person's parents love that person. And we shouldn't dehumanize people over politics." And that's the text they apparently thought was scandalous.
What a hater.
Something that we should all believe.
What a hater. And by the way, the fact that The View are so dumb, I know their scriptwriters are on strike, but the fact that they're so dumb that they think that that text is racist because Antifa? I mean, do they really think that Antifa is BLM? Are they that stupid, Sean? Is that possible?
Oh, they're incredibly stupid. However stupid you think they are, take whatever your thermostat is set at in your office now, drop 20 off of it, and that's about where they are IQ-wise. I say this all the time about liberals in the media. Everyone kind of talks about, oh, they're wrong or they're deceitful. No, a bunch of them are just stupid. And I'm not saying that to be mean. They're objectively dumb people.
It's true. It's true, especially in the press corps. Can we keep you over for one more segment? We have so much to discuss.
Absolutely.
All right. Last part in this segment. I'm kind of like, if this is Fox's attempt to smear a man who's still on their payroll because they haven't fired him, he still has to fill out his contract, they're still paying him, or if this is, you know, a disgruntled former producer that never met him, Sean, this is really thin. This is thin gruel.
It is. And I put it on Twitter today. If this is the best that someone who's trying to take Tucker down has against him, they need to just retire because it's embarrassing. Like of all the things someone might have said over their entire career, their kill shot, which was leaked to the New York Times, was this guy chastising himself for not being more charitable towards someone who's his political enemy. That's the best they got, man. But I'll tell you what, I don't like seeing my friends fighting. I like Fox. I love Tucker. Tucker's been a good friend for a long time. It's so bad for the country what's happening, and it just breaks my heart that we all as a movement can't just be together, do what we need to do to win, and instead, you know, people are out there knifing Tucker and trying to get rid of him when he's probably the most effective spokesman for our side that we've had since Rush.
Didn't we just say that literally 10 minutes ago, guys? We are having a discussion live on air about him being the most influential. That's why they have to do what they've done. I actually retweeted Sean's tweet before we started the show. Follow him, Sean M. Dav. He's got a good Twitter game. TheFederalist.com, co-founder and CEO. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Don't forget to follow us. Never miss any of our wonderful postings. We are everywhere that matters. Truth Social, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Parler, Getter, Telegram. You can watch us on your television through your Roku, Fire Stick, and other devices. It's the Salem News Channel. And for my unique Substack with my content and direct access to me, it's sebastiangorka.substack.com. That's my whole name is one word. It's fruity. sebastiangorka.substack.com. We'll be back with Sean after these messages. Stay on this channel.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
You know, a double whammy can really be a good thing. How about this double whammy? You get a good night's sleep, and you also stick it to the left. That's what I do every night. When I lay my head on one of Mike Lindell's pillows, the only pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape. He's just launched a 2.0. It's so good he's launched. He sold 71 million of them. Not only am I going to sleep well, I'm going to stick it to the left because they want to destroy him. Even the FBI. You heard the story he told us when he came on this show about being cornered by the FBI. Let's have Mike's back right now. Left-wing Walmart may have banned him and many others, but you can't keep a good man down. Use my name for up to 66% off at MyPillow.com. Promo code Gorka. Call them right now. 800-829-8468. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. MyPillow.com. Promo code Gorka. We're back with Sean Davis, CEO and co-founder of The Federalist. You must bookmark it right now. It is one of the most reliable websites out there. Sean, breaking news just moments ago from the Nashville PD. Despite those brave officers killing that transgender child murderer, apparently the bosses at the Nashville PD have refused to release the manifesto of the killer. Your reaction?
I wish I could say I'm surprised. I'm not, unfortunately. Nashville's mayor is a hardcore left-wing Democrat, and just like in many big cities, that's who the police work for. The police chief knows which side his bread's buttered on. And I think we all know exactly why this thing isn't coming out. We know what's in there because they hinted at it initially.
Yeah.
That it was a plan that these children and these teachers were targeted because they were Christians. And when people started talking about it, we got banned on Twitter. We got censored. We got silenced because it destroyed the left-wing transgender narrative that they're always the victims and everyone else are always the perpetrators. That's the real reason they're not ever going to let this thing see the light of the day, and they should all be ashamed of it.
They should be ashamed of themselves and hang their heads in disgrace. Let me connect some dots. I saw this early today, and I thought it was a parody. It's not. This is a member of the U.S. Navy, a serving member, with his name on a video, who is the drag queen recruiting face of the U.S. Navy, Joshua Kelly, in Navy uniform, in drag queen outfit. These things are not disconnected, are they? The murder of children by a transgender killer, and then the state organs normalizing this sexualization, this perversion. Sean, these are not disconnected, are they?
No, they're not. It's just a sign of a continued crumbling of society and civilization that this is the kind of nonsense we tolerate. And I thought it was fascinating. I saw Rob O'Neill on Twitter, a former Navy SEAL, the guy who reportedly killed bin Laden in the compound in Abbottabad. He commented on that, and he said, "I can't believe I fighted for this nonsense." Used a different word there.
Yeah.
There's a reason the military is having a problem recruiting people, and it's because they've spent 20 years fighting wars we don't need to fight with no strategy, with no plan to win. They've been sending young men off as cannon fodder, and they're surprised after people watch that why they don't want to join the military. And their response to that is to put out a drag queen to get people in.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to say, it makes me sad to say, I think we're going to lose a major war very soon, but we've already lost several in my adult lifetime, and I'm not that old.
Yeah. It's absolutely shocking. The most powerful nation in the world that seems incapable of fighting wars but has a chairman of the Joint Chief who's proud that bigotry like critical race theory is taught at West Point. I've got one more question for you, but Sean, these chats are far too enjoyable and far too short. Could we have you on for one of our one-on-one longer interviews?
I'd love that. That'd be great.
Okay. We'll set that up on Skype. But here's you know, changing subject. How concerned are you that the problems with the 2020 election will not have been solved by the 2024 election?
I'm extremely concerned, almost to the point that I'm kind of bored by the 2024 jousting that's going on in the Republican primary. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw what happened
in 2022 in Arizona and Georgia,
yeah,
in an election environment that was 180 degrees different than 2020,
yeah,
and the results were exactly the same. And our party leadership just doesn't seem to be interested in fixing these problems.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to ask you that because I wanted to set up our discussion, and you've done it for me as I expected. We will dissect that further. In the meantime, you got to follow this guy. He's got a pretty awesome Twitter game. It's Sean M. Dav, the co-founder, the CEO of that superb site. It is The Federalist, thefederalist.com. We will get him back for a one-on-one. Bookmark thefederalist.com, and don't forget to follow us on all social media outlets and to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss our one-on-one Riley Gaines for the whole hour, this third hour. I don't think anybody's done that on live national radio. Go to your favorite podcast platform, plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, leave us a five-star review and share the links with your friends. This is America First, and I'm your host, Sebastian Gorka.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.